most of my life as a parent in this way. I lived my first 20 years as a parent in this craziness until I was able to apply my Christian faith to this source of continuous worry. Now, I will admit, and I will confess later, I still battle this, but it is getting better because my faith continues to grow. My sermon today is based on the following scripture. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." So what is worry? Well, worry is to be uneasy in the mind, to feel anxiety about something. And for any non-Texans in here, in Texas we say it's something to fret over. Interestingly, it comes from the old English word, which means to strangle. A lot of times when we are in the midst of worry, that is just what it feels like. A choking or suffocation comes over us. In 2 Kings 6, the king of Aram, which is now the nation of Syria, was at war with the northern kingdom, Israel. In the secrecy of his war room, he would plan to attack Israel and take her by surprise. But every time he arrived at the place he had chosen, he would find Israel's army was already there, defending it. He was infuriated. The only reasonable answer was that he had a spy in his camp. When he confronted his officers with the charge, they answered, "None of us, my lord, the king, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in the bedroom. Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. Imagine waking up and finding your city surrounded by an enemy army. Elisha's servant was worried, sick, and terrified. But through this frightening experience, he learned a wonderful truth. "Don't be afraid," the prophet said. "Those who are with us are more than those that are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes, as he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha didn't have to worry. He didn't have a worry in the world. God had sent his angelic army to protect his servant. After surveying that breathtaking display of power, he knew the outcome would be. He was able to show mercy to the enemy soldiers because God had rendered them harmless. From this, we learn a key principle. Introducing God into the equation changes the odds, no matter how frightening the situation looks. In Job 5:7-9, "Yet man born to trouble is surely as sparks fly upward. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted." That brings me to the story of Jehoshaphat. Time doesn't really permit me to go through all this, but I encourage you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. He was a godly man, but it is often said that God often tests us when we are in trouble. Well, there was trouble in the two countries that were the king's neighbors were about to attack. They had big armies, and they got extra help from their neighbors. They were all coming to attack Judah. Jehoshaphat knew his small army could never defeat this army. He became anxious and worried. He knew God was his only chance. If he would help, they would succeed. So what did Jehoshaphat do? Well, first he prayed, and he prayed really hard. I'd heard that any kind of trouble, any kind of worry, can be worth it because it brings us closer to God. So So again, what is causing you anxiety and worry? I suggest bringing it to God. By doing so, just like Jehoshaphat, you are becoming closer to God. So Jehoshaphat then looked at the past. Look at the prayer in 2 Chronicles 27. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before, your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? So ask the question, how has God been in your past? There's an old hymn called, I Will Trust and Not Be Afraid. There's a verse in that song that says, His love in time past forbids me to think He will leave me at last in trouble to sink. Look at how God's love for you in your past. Why would you think the future would be any different when it comes to God's love? So Jehoshaphat then looked at how God rules. God is in total control. He said, Lord God, you rule in heaven over all the world's nations. You have power and strength. Nobody can defeat you. You are our God. So again, put this in your situation. Whatever it is that you are worrying about, perhaps you fear that something bad is going to happen. Remind yourself that God rules. So Jehoshaphat remembered God's promises also. He recalled God's promise to Abraham. I challenge us to do the same thing today. Think about the great promises of God. They are for you and I, and at difficult times in our life, when we are worrying about the outcome. Accept these promises and hold on to them. In 2 Chronicles 20:14, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel as he stood in the assembly. He said, Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to do. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. If you recall the story of this battle in Jehoshaphat, it was a strange battle. He didn't put his strongest warriors on the front line, but instead a group of singers that were singing praise to the Lord. His kindness and love always continues always. So this field where the battle took place was later named the Valley of the Blessings. So think about this. How can a field of war where people died be called the Valley of the Blessings? Well, in my life, I can give three quick examples of how bad things turn to blessings. Now, through God's grace, I don't worry about these types of things any longer. For instance, was when we were having to deal with a child with addiction. That was bad. It was a constant worry. We were concerned about their health, their immediate health, and of course their future. To say the least, it was a rough period that negatively affected our entire life and family. Would I call it a blessing? Well, at that time I did not. But looking back now, absolutely yes. So you may say, why would you call that a blessing? Well, one night I was at wit's end about this issue and had run out of options in constant deep worry over the situation. Someone had given me a phone number of a man whose wife was also battling addiction. They suggested I call this man, so out of desperation I did. I explained to him what my issue was, and after hearing my story, he asked me one of the most important questions ever asked to me. Have you turned this worry over to Jesus? I said no. He suggested I get into a good church. I had no clue what church to go to. I was not a churchgoer. A few years before this incident, I had lunch with a guy I didn't know very well, personally. His name was Dean Endler. I didn't know it at the time, but he had planted a seed in me during the conversation. So that seed grew into a visit to a local church in Curtin. It brought Connie and I much closer to God, In fact, in that time of our life, we had no relationship with God, nor did my family. It got us into a church, into a relationship with Jesus. It was a turning point in our lives. It allowed us to realize more problems, more worries will always be there, and without God, we would be hopeless in dealing with this worry. Having God in the middle of our lives has helped us face other life issues we have faced. We had to depend on Him because we were powerless. Our previous pastor here at Faith Bible Church, Pastor Dwayne, used to always say something that's stuck in my mind always. He said, you're either coming into difficulty, in the midst of difficulty, or coming out of difficulty. Remember the passage I talked about earlier. Yet man is born to trouble. A second instance is a close family member who is battling with cancer. Now again, there's another blessing, right? What had it done for him and his family, including me? Well, it brought us closer to God than ever before. He too says he is dependent on our Lord, that he has brought him closer to God than ever before. Thirdly, I went to visit someone who is battling cancer. Yep, another blessing. If you hear him tell it, it absolutely is. Now this person was already a godly person, but they told me how much closer this situation had gotten him to God. That before he could have a tendency to keep control. Now he realizes it is God's way, not their way, and gladly turns the worry over to God. I went to visit and console this man, and he taught me more about Jesus and trust. This is, of course, the end game. We may face trials here on this earth, but getting closer to God is our goal. Going back to the stories of Elisha and Job and Jehoshaphat, maybe you're thinking, well, that's the Old Testament. There are all kinds of miracles then. That doesn't apply in this day. That's just not true. This incident is an illustration of the New Testament principle described in 2 Corinthians. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do not rely on your flesh. We rely on Jesus. And let me ask you a question by show of hands. How many of you worry? Feel free to... Okay, most of y'all. I'm pretty sure all of y'all at some point worry. So, I can't prove this statistically, but about everyone worries it from time to time. The truth is, most of us are better at worrying than trusting our Lord and Savior. Let me ask this. How often does your worrying have positive effects on what you're worrying about? Let's take example of health. If you're having a pain in your stomach and you have a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, is worrying on Monday going to help the outcome on Tuesday? Well, the answer is no, and in fact, it's probably going to make it worse. So are you worried about your marriage? Take it to God. I can tell you, if worrying about a relationship is your extent of the action you are taking, it's not going to help. Give it to Jesus and confer with Jesus. Parents of teenage drivers, the first time your 16-year-old child takes the car out on their own, is worrying going to make them drive any better or safer? Of course not. The truth is, the truth is, most of what we worry about are things that are never going to happen. I want to present a few statistics that has nothing to do with biblical principle per se, but the purpose of me showing this is to put worry in perspective. See, by worrying for any reason, we are depending on ourselves and not God. So 40% of all the things that we worry about never come to pass. 30% of all of our worries involve past decisions that can't be changed. 12% focused on criticism from others who spoke because they felt inferior. 10% are related to our health, which gets worse when we worry. And 8% of our worries could be described as legitimate causes of concern. I read a statistic last week from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention that said 40% of our children suffer from anxiety. Now, quite frankly, it didn't surprise me, as we are leading our kids. Are we leading our kids to Jesus to combat these worries, or are we having them to deal with these worries on their own? There's a lot of stuff going on out there concerning our kids that they're having to deal with. We have to lead them, expose them to Jesus. Notice the 12% concerning criticism from others up there. When I saw that, I wondered if that could be true. I personally do not worry about what people say about me. But, well, think about when it comes to our children. I believe this certainly could be an issue with all the social media out there. So, if these figures are accurate, let's focus on the 8% of legitimate worries. God does not want us to spend our time worrying. He doesn't want you worrying about your health, your future, money, or need. I want to discuss a few reasons why you shouldn't worry according to Scripture. I want you to think about this statement. Who created you? Well, God did. Well, can't that same God be trusted with all the things that you may be worrying about in your life? And the answer is sure He can. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothes." First, Jesus says God gave us our human life and our bodies without even asking. Human life and our physical bodies are incredibly valuable. Our life is much more valuable than the food we put on the table. Our body far more valuable than the shirt we put on. If God gave us life, which is so valuable, will He not give us food, which is of far less value? If God gave us these bodies, which are wonderfully made, will He not give us clothes to cover them? And even further, if God has given us eternal life, will He not provide for our temporal life? We are God's most valuable creatures. In good times and in bad, we can trust God. This is a choice we must make. Worry or trust God. Worrying about the future negatively affects your life today. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Jesus reminds us that God faithfully provides for animals. Birds don't sow or reap or store their food in barns, and they don't worry about whether they'll have enough for tomorrow or to get through the winter. Yet God feeds them. And Jesus tells us that humans, the crown of God's creation, the only creation God made in His own image, are much more valuable than birds. If God provides for birds, then surely He'll provide for His own, His He made in His own image. Furthermore, will not God especially provide for those He bought with His blood of His Son? We are not promised tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying to not plan for the future. What I am saying is don't worry about the future. And worrying is more harmful than helpful. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Worry does absolutely no good. It won't produce money, food, or clothing. Worry only has negative results. It chokes out the Word of God and distracts us from Him. It is unbelief, the opposite of faith, and it leads to more fear and anxiety. Can the different scenarios we play in our minds prevent a single thing from happening? And besides that, most of the things we spend so much time worrying about won't happen anyway. A couple of years ago, my daughter, son-in-law, and grandkids were traveling in a car back from Florida. We share an app. It's called, on our phones, it's called Life 360. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it. I will say, basically it tracks where everyone is on the circle, whoever's included in that, it tracks where they are. Parents out there, it's a great tool. But if you don't listen to God's word from this message today, save yourself some grief and do not get this app. So, anyway, they were going to try to make it all the way from Florida to Curtin without stopping overnight. So, that night, I took a trip from Florida to Curtin, sitting in my bedroom, watching them on 360. I could not go to sleep until I saw that they pulled into the gate. Now, I would ask you, what is all that about with me? Well, I was not trusting God, I was trusting me. I didn't mention earlier that I haven't quite conquered this sin yet, but here's the difference between today and 2 and 5 and 10 years back. I recognize this and stop it before it gets going. And I pray about what I'm worrying about. God does not ignore those who depend on Him. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, what do we have to worry about in reality? If we had food in the refrigerator, clothes in the closet, and a roof over our head, nearly half of the world's population, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day, which is about $912 annually. If you are able to attend a church service like we are attending this morning, without the fear of torture, arrest, or even death, you have a privilege that nearly half the population of the world doesn't have. Now, I gave two examples of people that possess far less than we do and live in places far less tolerant than we live. So, should they be worrying? Well, the answer is if you believe in Scripture, it is still no. Just look at the examples of the apostles. Look at the challenges that they had and suffered through. Worrying shows a lack of faith in God or a lack of understanding. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. This is a core thought I want us to think about today. Worrying does show a lack of faith. Do we think the God who created each of us, who created this universe, is not big enough to help us with our needs? If we worry, are we saying He is not big enough or doesn't love us enough? I'm here to tell you, neither one of those are true. We need to trust in God and believe that He will provide us what is best for us, and in living one day at a time. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its trouble of its own. Not only is worry counterproductive, it is also a form of disobedience. God has told us not to worry. So to worry is to disregard His guidance. Isn't it strange that we don't usually think of worry as sin? But it is. I ask us to repent it as sin. Choose with your will to obey God and depend on Him for the ability to do so. So how do we do it? I'm going to offer a few suggestions. One is to meditate on God's Word daily. I suggest planning a time daily when you can spend some time, even if it's only for 15 minutes, reading the Bible. Think about what you read and go over the phrases. Put your name in the place of the pronouns, applying each verse to specific situations in your life. Memorize passages that will help you. God's Word is powerful, and it will renew and protect your mind. Condition yourself to relax. Choose a phrase from Scripture or a hymn that you can repeat to yourself at the first hint of anxiety. Fell it to Jesus, or God cares for me, or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As you repeat this phrase, you will encourage yourself with its message and remind yourself to relax. Listen to soothing music. Just as David's music on the harp soothed King Saul, anxiety and depression, hymns and spiritual songs are wonderful tranquilizers for us today. Haven't you experienced, have you had the experience of hearing or singing a hymn that lifted your spirits and eased your mind? I personally love sitting on my mower or my tractor. That is what I do. I reflect on the words and relax in the melody. Cultivate the awareness of God's presence in you. Jesus has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He is in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants to live out His life through us. He gives us the strength for our task, the wisdom for decisions, the courage to face difficulties, and the victory over temptation. Keep up a running conversation with Him in your mind. And this is very important. Replace worry with prayer. Paul gave the Philippians some excellent advice about worry when he wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul's words encourage me. Life is not without uncertainties, whether they come in the form of major life transition, family issues, health scares, and financial trouble. What I continue to learn is that God cares. He invites us to let go of our fears of the unknown by giving them to Him. When we do, He, who knows all things, promises that His peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and mind in Jesus Christ. Instead of worrying, pray. You have a Father in heaven who is real and who loves you. He wants you to pray, demonstrating your dependence on Him. And He will give you an unexplainable peace that will serve as a guardian over your mind. Prayer is the acknowledgement that God has the power and the compassion to deal with your situation, while worry is the thought that God either doesn't possess the power or the compassion. We know the truth. All we have to do is trust it. As Peter instructed in 1 Peter 5, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." This is such a practical verse. Because He cares for us, we can rest and relax and learn to trust Him. Instead of carrying the burdens that weigh us down, we can give them to the Lord and let Him carry them. Finally, get help from others. Many times I share with Dan and Andy or the other elders something that is troubling me. I feel better immediately. They tell me to go on. No, I do. I feel better immediately. Often they have wisdom from their own experience or from Scripture that encourages me, enlightens me. Remember that we are members of one body, one family, and we are commanded to bear another one's burdens. A couple of quotes I wanted to share. One was, "Worry is the interest paid to those who borrow trouble." And another one was by a lady. Her name is Corey Ten Boom. "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." I thought both those really hit well with what we're talking about today. If you are a worrier, God wants to heal you. I've read numerous passages and replayed just a couple of stories in the Bible. God has given you His promises, His protection, and His provision. We all have a choice. We can keep worrying, ruin our mental and physical health, and retard our spiritual growth. Or we can cast our cares on the strong shoulders of our loving Savior, who has promised to give us His peace. So I always like to ask myself the question, so how has this worked for me? Well, I want to relay a little story. 8 years ago, around 9 o'clock at night, I told Connie I had a tremendous pain in my back, my upper back. As a doting wife who had a hypochondriac husband, she politely told me to go sit on the couch and it'll get better. Well, after an hour, it didn't get any better. So we went to the emergency room. After a bunch of tests were run, the doctor came in around 2 a.m. and told me I had a bad gallbladder and I needed surgery. So by this time, I was actually feeling pretty fine. I don't know if any of you have dealt with gallbladder stones, but they kind of come and go. And I was actually feeling fine. And the doctor said, you need surgery. And I said, so when do you want me to schedule this surgery? And he said, 7 a.m. And I said, this 7 a.m.? And he said, yes. I said, well, I usually like to get in several days of worrying before I get a medical procedure. And I use the word procedure. If you're over 60, any kind of major surgery is called a procedure. It's not called a surgery, so it makes it sound a little bit better. So I told the doctor I'd be back in a week or so, but Connie had a different thought, and she said, admitting now. So at this time, I was only going to get in about 5 hours of worrying, but the craziest thing happened, and this is true. My wife texted a few people, and of all things, put this situation on Facebook. It was a picture of me on a gurney with an IV and everything. And prayers started going all over the world. And literally, all of a sudden, I felt this unbelievable free ease of worry. And I can't describe it any other way. It was a God thing. It wasn't Valium, and it wasn't me. It was a God thing. So from that day forward, no matter what type of procedure I have, I'll always ask someone to pray for me, and I would always pray for myself. Not necessarily for a successful procedure, but for peace and calmness, and not to allow me to worry. When I hear about any of y'all dealing with things that can make you worry, I pray for your peace and calmness. See, I never know what the end of result of my situation may be. I may have died in that surgery, but I wasn't going to worry about it because that's why I tell this story today, solely for His glorification. So one thing is for certain. There are many things we will encounter that gives us the opportunity to worry, but we have a choice to make. We can be obedient and give it to the Lord, or try to deal with it ourselves. I can tell you in my experience, dealing with it myself just hasn't worked out for me. The worries are too big and, quite frankly, completely out of my control. So next time you are faced with a worry or anxiety, I suggest hitting the pause button before it gets out of hand. And just ask your Creator, the Almighty God, to shoulder that worry and to help allow you do, and to help allow you to do that. He loves you and trust Him. So I reviewed many scriptures directly concerning worry and anxiety today. As you read your Bible, take note of the tone being used by Jesus or Paul or Peter in these verses. None of these comes across as shame or guilt, but out of love, by encouraging and comforting words like little flock and encourage the fearful are used. In my research, I read something that really hits home with me concerning worry. It said, for Jesus, He knows that our tendency to worry strikes at the very heart of what we worship, treasure, and adore. When we are worrying, it is due to the fact that we are seeking to find stability, strength, and encouragement in someone or something other than Him. This is no simple matter, and it grieves Him that we would seek to find refuge in anything besides Him. It grieves Him because He knows that He alone can truly meet us in the midst of our struggles. So I want to ask, as I did starting this sermon, is worrying even a sin? Many times we hear the word sin and we think it's some high-handed disobedience to God. Sin can be much more simple than that. One definition of sin can be when we shift our loyalty from God to something else. That said, I see where worrying is shifting God's almightiness to my inadequateness. Why would we do that? It doesn't even make any sense. In conclusion, I would like to share one more scripture passage. This is Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus promises as he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, I know there is not enough willpower to stop me from worrying. I've tried this, but continue to worry. Father, help me not to worry about health, finances, and jobs, and children's well-being, all these things that we do worry about. Jesus, you said, people who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things. But Jesus, we do know You. We know You love us and You care for us. Help me with getting to know You better. Help me to live one day at a time. Help me focus on what You are doing for me right now, today. Help me trust You to do what You said You will do. Help me with my faith. Jesus, we love You. Amen.